Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, our show is Do Life Need Sports? Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And our web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Productions. So we look forward to you contacting us any way you can see fit, but we want you to call in. And make sure when you call in, you want to be a part of the conversation, you press 1, and I identify you the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to let us know your location and your name. All right, my co-host I have, right now we're running just a duo tonight. It's just myself and my lady of the hour, the millennial lady, our young and energetic co-host. And that's Coach Lauren D. Smith. Holla at him, Lauren.
Good afternoon. Good Wednesday, hump day. Ready to go ahead and get this started tonight. I think we're going to be talking about something that a lot of people avoid talking about. So I'm ready.
Oh, she's ready. Thank you, Laura, for jumping in there right quick. Glad to have you again. Very excited. Now, my other co-hosts, they're not on now. I know for sure Coach Tony Stallworth, and he texted me and let me know he has a couple more things to do. He's going to be ready before long, you know. Also, we want to let everybody know that Coach Tony Stallworth retired. It's going to be effective as of July the 31st, which will be August the 1st of this year, from the Alabama High School Athletic Association, over 30-plus years. So when he do get back, if y'all can remember that, but I'm going to remind everybody so we can say congratulations to Coach Tony Stallworth for offering himself for the serving of our young people. So we're going to applaud him, and we want to recognize him. My other co-host, our other co-host is the coach from the South down there. I said a young man has run from Art to Dothan, and he is the coach of the Airways. That's Darrell E. Train Elliott. He's not with us as well, but we want to make sure he mentions. And from the North, we go from the South of the state of Alabama to the North, coach from the North, that our young, energetic coach, and that's Coach Tremaine Edwards. That young man said, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. So he's not, but he's going to call in and share his thoughts with us in a little bit. So everybody be ready. But it's just this duo with Lori and myself. So I'm very excited, Lori. We're going to make this thing happen tonight. Now, if you want to email us, you can email us talkingsportsplus@gmail.com, or you want to tweet the show, you can go to @talkingsportsp1, also @LorenzaDSmith. All right, Laura, we want to try to get this thing started tonight, but before we do that, Laura, let's do this. We had another school shooting in Santa Fe out there in Houston, the Houston area, and Santa Fe High School, and we 10 individuals lost their lives, you know. And it's always sad when we hear that. It gets sadder because it keeps happening on a regular basis. So what we're asking now is that, you know, like I said, we're going to be praying that all of those individuals out there, you know, our prayers is for them to make sure they, you know, they're comforted, and we know the Lord will comfort them. So this show said our prayers are to Santa Fe High School out in the Houston area. So let's get this thing started. Lord, you ready? You ready, Lord?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's get cracking.
You know, the topic said, do life need sports? You know, we want to discuss that. And, I want you to call in and share your thoughts as well. But the question is, do life need sports? And, Lauren, you want to kind of share your thoughts on that in regards to whether life needs sports?
Yeah, everybody knows I coach AAU, which is summer travel ball, and I have the pleasure of coaching 17 and under boys. And this weekend, we had a tournament here in Montgomery. And, you know, Saturday we did really well. We won every game Saturday. But Sunday, when we moved into bracket play, we lost the first game going to bracket play, which means we were put out of the opportunity to compete for the championship. Well, when we lost, I always take my team back and I always talk to them. But this time, I moved away from the fussing and the this what you did wrong. And I kind of try to relay it to life. And this is what I did. I told them, you're not going to win every battle in life. But it's not about the wins and losses. It's how you react to adversity. It's how you handle situations. It's how you as I coach black young men. It's how you as black young men handle when something doesn't go your way. So, as we're talking about, does life need sports, you know, sports and life, how do they coexist with each other? That's what I tell my guys. You know, this game of basketball teaches you a lot. It teaches you teamwork. It teaches you brotherhood. It teaches you family. It teaches you how to deal with adversity. But when you're learning these lessons, make sure you're just not learning them for right now. Make sure you're learning them for 6 or 7 years down the line. As I told them, it was times when I was in high school and we didn't win, but the lessons that I learned in that game, I carried on through college and now in grad school. I understand that you're not going to win every game. Everything's not going to come out the way that you expect it's going to come out. But it's not about that. It's about how you adjust that. So that's when this topic came up, I was really happy because I just came off a topic of this same thing Sunday. So, yes, life needs sports. Sports and life coexist. They go together hand-to-hand, right or left. You can't do one without the other. That's why I love when people put their kids in sports, because now you've taught your kid how to be well-rounded as well as dealing with issues that occur in life.
Awesome, man. It's awesome, Laura. And, you know, and I want just want to say, since, you know, thought came across my mind that that we kind of look at and see how life and sports coexist. And before I move on with my thoughts on this, we now have the coach of the Airways, Darryl E-Train Elliott. Say hello, Darryl.
Thank you, everybody. I'm sorry I'm late, guys. I was in the midst of trying to do some more commercials.
Okay. Well, that'll work. We thank you for being here with us again, Darryl. You know, we're on that topic by discussing why life needs sports. And Coach Lauren shared some thoughts on that. Let me just kind of share my thoughts on it. I've been around sports since the age of 4 years old, when I played Tiny Mike football and all the way up through high school, college, Brad, I'm a semi-pro, but I've been playing in sports, and I began to coach in sports and became administrator that's dealing with sports. So the question is, do we really need sports? Can they coexist without each other? Well, they can coexist without, because you don't have to participate in sports. But I want you to be realistic. I want all our listeners just to take an opportunity to think about this. You know, even if you're not actually participating in the game, you may know family members that's participating in the game, or you know your friends and your bestie children participating in the game. And the game plays a mighty part in not only with you as your, if you don't have any children, just being a part of it. It means a whole lot to be a part of it, whether you're a supporter, whether you're in a community. You know, sports is the key to a lot of communities, especially your small communities. I've worked in an area called McKenzie, Alabama. And McKenzie, Alabama may have one flashing light. The school is the most dominant place there. Very few things, and more of a rural farming type thing. But on Friday nights, when that football team geared up, everybody in McKenzie made sure they were inside of that stadium, because that meant a lot. Even teams that win in a small school go up and get a chance to go to the championship games are held in Auburn or held at Tuscaloosa in Alabama at the University of Alabama. Everybody closed the town down. So the sports means a lot. It means in our life, we need that part of it, because it gives us that understanding, as Coach Smith was saying, that you have an opportunity to experience leadership. You have an opportunity to experience adversity. You have an opportunity just to experience winning and losing, because you can be the greatest winner in the world. But sometimes it requires a situation when you do lose is how you react to that process of losing. Now, I'm going to leave it right there. I'm going to stop right there. Before you come in, we have Coach Edwards on here. You know, the famous person we're going to say, Coach Trey, when he said, ain't no fun when the rabbit have a guard. We want you to say hello to everybody.
How y'all doing tonight? Sorry for my tardiness. Last day of school tomorrow. Was getting my stuff packed up. Sorry about that crowd. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you, Coach, for calling in here and being ready to go. Coach Darryl, we was talking about, do life need sports? Can you operate life without sports? And folks, Coach Smith and I were sharing those thoughts. We want to share some thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Coach, I'll be the first to tell you that sports helps build character. It helps build children in their esteem, their self-esteem, and it helps build team skills. And life skills. So, yeah, we can have life without sports, but I think it's a very valuable thing in that perspective.
Awesome. Coach Trey, you want to jump in there, right, about life and
yes,
sports?
Yes, sir. You got to look at that with different situations. Some of us are not as blessed as others as far as living conditions, incomes, and all that. So life to some people means sports. Like people, some people tell you, this basketball got me out of the neighborhood. I sit up and look at Marcus Smart that played for the Boston Celtics. He tells you if it wasn't for the basketball, he'll be dead. He says that all the time. He talked about the times he was at the park and how he played, and he had to run home. He couldn't walk home. He had to run home. So that's a real sticky subject. Now, on the other end, to somebody that is blessed, that has money, doesn't live in meager living conditions, it's a game to them. You know what I'm saying? It's a game. So I can do this, or I can go out and work a job and be fine. But as far as some people, life means sports. That's their way out.
Exactly. And that's the way we have to look at it. And this is a vital part, as Coach Smith said earlier. You know, it coexists with one another. And sometimes, like you say, some people have that only option. Sports give them a chance to get out of the neighborhood, give them a chance to get where they need to go. So, in essence, we'll kind of say, and we will say that life needs sports. Kind of as we watch the game, I don't know if anybody watching the ball game, there are some issues that's going on. Let's talk about behavior of our athletes. Let's take the time. Even though it wasn't no agenda or was not one of our topics, I'm seeing issues that occurred. You know, we got an issue where a player is fouled hard and jumps up and want to fight. Let's just kind of get our thoughts about that. And these are professional athletes. Let me hear what my co-hosts have to say about that simple transpiring of that situation where the player get fouled pretty hard, knocked up in the stand, he comes out the stand, he wants to push, the other guy want to punch. What do we think about that? Is that actually showing the sportsmanship we ask? Who consider to be in good or bad in this situation? It's however you want to see it, but if you don't see either way, but share your thoughts on that. Can I get some thoughts on that?
Yes, I step on in there, Dr. Smith. I'm watching the same thing you're watching. There wasn't a foul called on that play. It looks like Larry Nance Jr. just got upset, and the entourage came. The entourage came very hard from the Boston Celtics. So they let you know, if you pick on one of them, it's going down. Point blank. Marcus Morris knocked the ball out of bounds. He ran into Larry Nance a little bit, went out of bounds, and Marcus Morris stared him down. And Larry Nance didn't take heed to that, so he got up and pushed him, point blank. But as far as – I'm going to give you a situation. I'm going to take a few minutes with this one, Dr. Smith.
All right.
Last night, I refereed a game, and the two coaches got into it. We ended the game right there. So what are you teaching the kids if you're about to fight the other coach over something as simple as the home book, what the home book has, and the words were exchanged and they about to fight? So what are you teaching your kids? So we immediately ended that game off the rip. So you got to control it. So I wouldn't be surprised if both these guys get ejected. Just off of the minimal of actions they're doing.
Exactly. Okay. And make sure we remind you about our call in number. That's 347-857-4192. Any other thoughts on just simply? That was an add in topic right there, because there's a long discussion delay in the game to decide exactly who will be ejected. We don't know how it's going to go and how it happened, but something has to happen here because, however they do it now. Coach Smith, got any thoughts on that?
Yes.
Coach Smith.
Yeah,
all
I,
right.
got some,
okay.
I got some thoughts on that. Who did y'all say was involved? Larry Nance Jr., please. When it comes to these little push fouls and his little you elbow me, you slap me in the face, I personally just think we need to double check both of them and keep the game going. Unless it calls for fist swinging or something like that, then yeah. But I really don't like the time that the referees spend in the NBA trying to distinguish between flagrant two or flagrant one. Just double check both of them, and we can keep it moving. But when I say that too, I also coach AAU, so I also coach something where kids are really trying to get to school, and to some of these kids, it's probably the only option. So when it comes down to in AAU games, you know, I don't tolerate that. I tell them right then, if anybody gonna get a tech, it's gonna be me, but it's not gonna be for what you think it's gonna be. I don't tolerate that running up in people's face. I do not tolerate that because at the end of the day, it's not called for. You know, we trying to play basketball, so. But the NBA, that's another story. But these high school kids watch the NBA, and they think that that's gonna fly, and it's not. So.
It's sensational TV, is what it is, guys. It's sensational TV, and in fact, some of that's even encouraged. Of course, not hurting anyone, but not fisticuff, but certainly. Sensational TV is encouraged, and they do that in so many subliminal ways in these games, you know, and you see that, and then these stars with these huge egos who are out there playing basketball often want, you know, their own personal TV time. They call it in the sports world, that you guys may have never heard of, that we call it behind the scenes. We call it our 33 seconds of fame when we go up and we bow up at somebody, knowing good and well we're gonna have drinks after we leave here, you know. But we in front of that camera, we're gonna have that sensational moment, and at no cost to the next player, unless there's a real, you know, adamancy of a fight there. Then of course the dynamics of that change. But you know, when it comes down to this thing, Dr. Smith, the young millennial is so right. You know, there are people watching. We can go back and forth with that all day long, but there are people, children, watching, and they feel like they can be just as hardcore as these people on TV. You know, our kids are growing up a lot earlier, a lot faster, and the coaches are having to deal with these type of attitudes. And like she said, she's not going to put up with it, you know, on her teams. She's going to be the disciplinary. And then I'm sure Coach King, will do the same. So, but the reality is that it is unnecessary, and it isn't called for. But however, the rules need to be, in my mind, like she said, throw them two ticks and keep the game going. That's what I got to say.
Exactly. That's awesome. And, you know, we kind of expected to be caught up, sort of like it was set up a couple games ago, and we were talking when it was the coach, Coach Lou, said that it was playing Goonie. And I figured they were going to be goons eventually, too, because they ain't no man going to let nobody take their nerves like that. You know, so my point is, this was leading to this kind of thing. So let's watch the game and enjoy the game. And just, well, we're going to move on with our topics, and we're going to kind of share some thoughts. All right, on the situation with Kyrie Irving, and I just wrote this question out because it was a discussion by some of the pundits and talking heads. And they said, how should Kyrie feel about the series between Cleveland and Boston? What kind of feelings he should have about that series? I know he's not there, but he's been with both teams now. Let me get your thoughts on that.
Well, I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
Kyrie should really be proud of his Celtics team. And I'm going to let you know why. Because this Celtics team was built around him, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford. This team was not built really to survive without at least two of them. Well, now they're in a situation where they must survive without two of them. And they're doing outstanding. I did not believe that this Celtics without Kyrie and Gordon would even be in this situation. But they are. So Kyrie should be proud of the Celtics. On the other hand, with the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's almost like he wasn't happy in Cleveland anyway. So I really do not believe that he cares what happens with the Cavaliers. I think he really wants Boston to really beat the Cavaliers, because then it's going to turn into what you know, Kyrie should have stayed with Cleveland. Kyrie's going to throw an attitude. So the best way to kill that noise right there is to go in there before the game, hype the team up, tell them, hey, man, you know, we playing for a possibility to go to the NBA Finals, but you also plan to show my old team that, look, this is what you gave away. This is the leadership that you basically said we can do without. So that's my thoughts on it.
Go ahead, Darryl. Go ahead.
You know what? And you and Laura are going to be the great debaters on that. I just want to ask a question. I know Kyrie's not there, and the Celtics are doing right. Sister Millennial, you're right. But just somebody answer this question, and I want you to get back on that, Coach Trey, and King. I call him the King. Back on subject, but how is it that Boston can play two games and dominate Cleveland, but when Cleveland go home, it looks like the Boston Celtics never showed up? How does that even work? But anyway, King Trey, go ahead, my brother. Go ahead. Talk to the Millennial.
Lauren hit that point on the head. And like she said, that is a good show of leadership, letting them know that they can, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to go in the locker room and still lead these young guys to beat you. And Darryl, with that, there is their home court advantage. So after this game right here, we'll know where the advantage is for real, because both teams have won at home. So
Hold on. Home team advantage is one thing. But just running over another team that just ran over y'all, come on, man. Come on, this is what I just told y'all a few minutes ago. This is sensational TV, and it goes to the pocketbook, my brother. It goes to the pocketbook. I'm telling you, this thing is a setup. I do believe it with all my heart. All my heart. That at the end of the day, Boston is a better team than Cleveland. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead on, Trey.
I agree with you. Boston is a better team, but Boston also has two superstars sitting out as far as hurt. But it's gonna be a competitive when you got the mega weapon. You got a mega weapon on your team, man. And ain't nobody stopped that mega weapon since I've been watching it, though. So they're going to always have a chance.
And who's the mega with?
Lebanon James.
King.
The King.
Lebanon.
That's the mega weapon. The mega weapon can make doo-doo look good. And
well, come on. King, you have not explained to me, King. How did the first two games Cleveland didn't even show up? And all of a sudden, they move home, and all of a sudden, Boston doesn't show up. How does that work?
That advantage, that crowd giving you that extra boost.
Come on, man. Come on. Y'all got to look past that, man. This is sensational TV,
LeBron.
Man. This is money, man. This is money. This is money, 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 money.
And
LeBron said he's going to start buying them suits.
Yeah, he come in with blue jeans next time. Let me just kind of jump in right here. You know, I we all see it a certain way. I do believe that a home team does make a difference. That's an any sport. Home teams make all the world different. You can play like you did and come back and play where the team that didn't play as well, which is not King James now, is those players that supported him. His cast is begin to rise up when they're at home. Now, I also believe that the lack of maturity plays a role in this situation too. Tyree is a true leader for them, but it's hard to lead them from the bench. You can tell them everything they need to do, but you just can't do anything with them on the floor. Whereas King James, LeBron, however y'all want to call him, is out on the floor. Lead by example. If he go out there and play as hard as he playing, everybody else try to give what they have. So I think that's where the problem is. I mean, that's my thought in regards to that. I think the home court is the advantage. But for Cleveland to be in there, so it could be 30 seconds of fame, 33 seconds of fame, Cleveland has to win a game in Boston. They have to win a game in Boston to make me think that the NBA want this thing to go seven. Want Cleveland to win so they can go play the Warriors and or Houston. Let me change Houston now. Now, it's just my opinion, but we can add a little bit more thought on this right here.
I'll go ahead. Yeah, it's, but this is my whole thing. This is my whole thing about this Cleveland and LeBron thing. People have to understand LeBron's been playing basketball a long time, right? At some point, because this is what I'm going to school for. At some point, his body is going to tell him, "Hey, man, I cannot produce at the level that you're used to producing anymore." When that happens, either that happens in the next series or it happens next year, this Cleveland team, if they do not rebuild themselves where they can have more than one superstar on this team, this Cleveland team, we will see them out first round. LeBron, unfortunately, I don't like saying this, LeBron hurts, LeBron misses games, this and that. This Cleveland team has to build themselves this offseason to be able to play without LeBron if LeBron comes back. If he doesn't come back, now you're in a whirlwind of trouble. Now you're thinking about trades, trying to get Kawhi or DeMarcus or somebody like that. On the other hand, the Celtics team is not going to have that problem. The Celtics team is going to come back next year, probably be in the finals again, because I don't see anybody in the East stopping them. So that's my thoughts.
Okay. All right. All right.
Money.
All right, money man that spoke. It's money. It's all about money. Call in numbers 347-857-4192. So make sure you call in. Press 1 if you want to add some thought to this conversation or your expertise. And when you press 1, I will call out the last 4 digits of your cell number or telephone number, and then I ask you to tell us what your name is and your location. All right, we're going to kind of jump from there and go to that series that's over in the West just to have an idea of what has occurred. Now, the question was, did the Rockets blow the series against the Warriors in that third game? Now, let's add a little caveat to that. Did the Rockets add a little bit back to the series to make it a series by winning a game last night in the Oracle? And we want some thoughts on that.
Let me step on in right there. Last night, that game was poor coaching towards the end of the game. That was the worst coaching I've ever seen in a minute. When Steve Kerr saw that Klay Thompson froze with the ball in the corner with 5 seconds, he should have been calling timeout. Draymond Green initially called timeout. They didn't reward him with the timeout, so they didn't call timeout. So I think the Warriors should be 3-1 right now. But like you said, Dr. Smith, if you leave the door open for Houston, that beard going to get you, man. That beard is going to get you.
And you're right, Trey. I was sitting here, laughing at this little man trying to tackle the big man and put in his basketball game. And the door was left open. And the Rockets, and I'm going to kind of look at it how you look at it. The Rockets played on the other night, got beat by 41 points with the same third quarter that Curry had, scored 17 or more in the third quarter of that game. And then to come back in this game, they can't hit a basket in the fourth quarter. Now, everybody can say defense. I ain't seen no defense. I haven't seen any defense by your boy with Harden. Harden don't play no defense. I haven't seen no defense by CP3. All he do is grab and push. He don't be playing no defense now. He don't move his feet. He hold them. And then the rest of them is just, to me, just out there. So all of a sudden that the Warriors couldn't hit a shot in the fourth quarter last night.
My man said the money, money, wrong. The ill-advised shots, man. They were shooting the worst shots I've ever seen in my life, man.
Why, Trey?
I can't say money because
they couldn't win that. You cannot let them win that series like that.
I
you can't let them win that series like that.
I gotta call time out right there. I'm calling the T.O. I gotta get a T.O. Steve Kerr blew that one for the Warriors last night.
Come on, man. Listen, the pressure was on the coach to go out there and tell them, boys, y'all cannot blow this team out. They have got to have at least six games. They got to have six games. Five at the minimum, man. They got to have five at the minimum. The sponsors got to have this airtime. They got to sell these tickets. They cannot do this. It's no longer who is the best team. It is the best team. I take that back. But y'all have seen sports where I don't know how they won that. That don't make you scratch your head. How did they win that? And the thing is, yeah, guys, this is a betting situation now. Everything's on a bet. And bet, not just I bet you my dollars, it's betting on advertising dollars and ticket sales and clothing and all these different things that come into play, all the way down to sports designs. When they walk in the stadium, to the arena, they need to see these pictures at least five times. All this stuff comes into play, guys. Do not sit there and think that was just poor coaching. That was a game. That's a series that they cannot win in four games. Nobody, I go to my grave with that, because I done talked to too many people in the world of spending money in sports and these games, and they have to have what they have to have. And these teams know that. And that's all I want to say. Thank you. I'm so sorry.
All right. Okay, so in essence, the money is there, got to be spent. So you spent all that money on advertising, millions and billions of dollars. So it's time for us to make sure we get at least six or seven games out of the deal. So it's entertainment now. You got to remember it's entertainment. So entertainment can't be over quick and fast. You got to help everybody to have a good time watching it and enjoying themselves. All right, let's move to our next topic. It is all about the Cavaliers, but we're not going to talk about them. Last week, we talked about legalized sport betting, and there's still some discussion on that. I just want to get some more thoughts, and Darry, I know you wasn't with us last week, but we talked about legalized sports betting. Now, that's simply something what you were kind of saying now, that, you know, all that money has been put in and invested in this game, this series. So these series have to go longer than three games. I'm sorry, longer than 4-1. It needs to go at least to the point where you play six games so everybody can get their money out. Let's have some discussion on that, because now we talk about moving this into all states that's willing to vote on that. What's y'all thoughts on that?
I dive in right. Let me get in here right quick, Darryl. Let me jump in. I'm gonna say this real quick. I don't, like I said last week, I don't think it makes a difference when you have the internet, because I can put a bet in right now, even before they pass the law. I could put a bet in Vegas, point blank, on official sites. I could go on there and put bets in. So I don't think it would change much. Because we can all bet in Vegas still.
Okay. Let me jump in right there. That means Vegas only making the money. With this law being shot down, everybody can make money now. So one of the things, the concerns Vegas had was this is going to hurt them, because they're the only one that you can put your betting in online or go out in Vegas. Now you need New Jersey.
It needs to hurt Vegas. Vegas been making billions of dollars off us over the years. Billions.
It will.
What's out of billions?
King.
We know trillions.
Zillions.
They've been making zillions.
Yeah. And
that's so
a kazillions.
Yeah.
It's
time. Yeah. It's time for somebody to get a piece of that pie. It's time.
Okay, that's a good thought right there. Everybody will get a chance now. But we could have some more thought on that.
Sure, absolutely. And I'll dig in. The sports betting has been, for lack of better words, going on in many states quietly. But nobody's getting the revenue except, like King Trey says, Vegas. So, yeah, you open it up. It's no different than what's happening here in the state of Alabama. Gambling is illegal in the state of Alabama, but is Alabama a gambling state? Yes, it is. So
yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So you have to open up the betting. And let me say this: when you do so, it will be a lot less pressure from the Big Five who actually own all the betting. It'll be a lot less pressure on these teams to throw a game. Did I just say that? But anyway,
yeah,
what I'm saying, but what I'm saying to you, the pressure will subside a lot less. It will be a lot less only because the betting is now spread out so far and vast that nobody's in certain control anymore. Does that make any sense to you?
That makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, so that's good for the sport is what I'm telling you. That's a little less pressure on these teams. That's good for the sport. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. And Coach Smith, Lauren, you
want to
add a little thought to that?
Yeah. I really believe this is going to help those NFL fantasy footballers who was betting their money on fantasy football and weren't getting paid, and they filed a lawsuit against the fantasy football company saying that, hey, you promised us if we win this, we get this. I think that now that right there, that revenue is going to start to come back strong. When it comes to Vegas betting, yeah, I really do believe Vegas should lose millions of dollars because Vegas was the only people that was making millions of dollars, whether it come with boxing, MMA. I know people that was betting on golf, down in Vegas betting on golf. So, they were really betting. So I think the fantasy footballers, I think that's who is going to really help. And also when it comes to fantasy basketball, those people who had the money in that, I think that's really what this sports betting is really going to help.
So let me ask you, will this open the door for, you remember that, and Trey talked about this last week, about people possibly on these teams throwing the game? They may not bet personally. Point saving, like you had at Auburn University about 4 or 5 years ago, and the thing about it where players wasn't scoring when they should be scoring, or they was trying to score more, they was backing off. So will this open the door once you legalize sports betting? Now we're talking about sports betting, that the concern that these NFL teams have, the concern the NBA teams have, and the NHL team, college teams. You know, how about college teams? Is there going to be a concern now with the college team with this legalized betting? Just want your thoughts on
sure.
it, guys.
Yes. Sure. I mean, yeah, that's just going to be an absolute concern. But there are concerns now. I mean, there are grave concerns for the lack of attention that these students are getting financially from the profits of these games each year. Going back into the betting scene by opening up that, I think there may be some pressure, you know, more pressure for college. But I'm not really sure how to articulate my true concern about it. Maybe Coach Trey, you can help me with that because I really don't know how to articulate that in a way that really makes a lot of sense.
Dr. Smith, can you say your question over again? Let me hear this question again.
It's in relation to you know how NBA's and the NFL and how it's betted on. Will this and create a problem with college or either high school sports if you got betting on games? We know it goes on, but now it's legal. It will be legal if that state allows to do it. So the question is, will this affect the high school and the college game when you legalize sports betting? Will you have more shade in the game? Will you have more opportunity where folks can, in essence, just don't play the level they need to play? Because if you're going to give me $3,000 or $4,000, if I don't score this touchdown, then I don't give the greatest effort. Is this going to affect it? The game. at the college and the high school level possibility?
$3,000 or $4,000 to change some jokers' lives, man. So I feel that jokers will say if it comes down to that. I mean, $3,000 or $4,000 is some people's livelihood. I mean, $3,000 or $4,000 can change a person's life in high school and beginning of college. But I'm gonna still stay where I'm at with that. I feel like if they gonna save anyway. I don't think them changing, you know, saying it's legal, gonna change anything.
Because Trey, if you look at the dynamics where there's just Vegas getting the money, you spread it out, and let's just say now we have 13 states that has legalized betting, and they can bet on high school, college, or whatever. Well, you just spreaded that influence into that state, and somebody who stands to win a lot of money, let's just say off of a high school game. Can easily go to the star player and say, tonight I need you to follow, do this, whatever, and you'll magically find yourself $5,000 richer. And so, yeah, that's a possibility and definitely a concern when you spread that into other states. When it's confined to Vegas and Vegas is not doing, you know, but certain, you know, certain sports at certain levels, and then that gets spread out into other sports, same sports but at different levels, then you may have a situation there. You know what I'm saying, Coach?
Exactly.
I see exactly what you're saying.
And that's the discussion. And like I said, it's going to depend on the states. All that did was allow states to choose whether they want to have legalized betting in their state. Everybody's not going to have, you know, you think about Alabama. Think about it. We're not even able to get a lottery. We're not able to even get casinos, and all those opportunities was in our hands and our opportunities way before. Every state around us either got a lottery or a casino. So if we ain't ready to legalize it that way, I don't know whether we, you know, we can't control the board's $5, $10 places on the board, which is illegal gambling on sports. We ain't enough money to share, but do we really, really want to move in that direction, which we're not able to keep our casinos that's not on a reservation open? We closing all them down, and our government playing a part with that. Are we willing to now talk about legalized sports betting? So I don't think we're ready here. I won't say never, never, but I don't think we're ready. But we're going to kind of move forth. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. All right, we're going to take a minute or two to talk about situation with Matt Patricia. You know, he was the defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, and he had an opportunity to move to become a head coach. But that was an article came out about his situation in 1996 where he was charged with sexual assault, and he was indicted. However, it was eventually dismissed. So there was some discussion on whether he should be fired or whether he should have been hired at all. I just want us to take a few minutes and discuss in regards to Matt Patricia and that sexual assault case that happened in 1996. Some people say it doesn't make a difference because, you know, things that occurred with Bill Cosby happened, some people said, 40 years ago. So what's your discussion? Should he be fired, which I know they came out with something to say he's not going to be fired, but what's your opinion, team? How do you feel about it? How do you feel about that situation? Should he be fired? Maybe should have been hired at all if they would have known that they did what they call, when they did a very investigated situation to find out. That shouldn't have come out later on. But what's your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to say this real quick. You know, when you are vetting someone, and, you know, if the military wants you to have a secret clearance, they're going to pick your life apart. And I think that they should have picked his life apart. And if they found that, and then judged it accordingly. But let me say this, without knowing the full story of what happened in 1996, The man was indicted, and then he was released from that indictment because it was dropped. So if it was dropped, that means there was no conviction. Why should he be tried by the public? Or in not knowing the story, I'm saying, I don't know the story about it. But what I'm saying to you is if it was dropped by a court system that deemed it was not necessary to prosecute him further, then why should his life be drugged through that? Why should he pay a price for that if he didn't pay a price through the court system? And that's my opinion.
I agree totally with you right there, Darryl. If the court system couldn't find him guilty, I mean, why are we finding him guilty? I mean, they can have allegations. They have to prove it, point blank. And if they didn't convict him of doing the crime, I mean, how can we say anything about it?
And I agree with both of you all. But then I go back and look at situations where, you know, people in public eyes have been pretty much destroyed because of accusations. And they may not be true. You know what I'm saying? I'll go back to the coach that came and used Tennessee, for example. You know, he had nothing to do with that, but just because a few of their fans went on there and said that he was around when this happened at Penn State. You're caught in a situation. He wasn't charged with anything. He wasn't indicted on anything. I know it's professional, but it's still in the eyes of the public. And I just wanted us to take an opportunity to talk about it. And we say he's fine. I think he's fine, too. I don't think it should have come up 1996 when it was adjudicated to the point where it was dismissed. So it's done. He can't be retried.
Let me say this to you. Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And back in 1997, there was a head coach that's life was torn apart by a pitcher. FBI came in, was going to get him on child pornography and all these things. And here's the story, how this man lost his job, his family and all, through the court of public opinion. The girls in the locker room took a picture. They were all dressed. But there was a girl behind them that was in the locker room getting undressed, and you saw her shoulder and her bra strap. They sent the picture to their favorite coach because they were getting ready to graduate, and they wanted to leave him with a lasting picture of his what he calls his favorite girls on his volleyball team. And that picture they sent to the coach ended up on social media, not on social media, on, I forgot what it was. It was on
MySpace.
Something. Something like that. It came out on that. And when they said that they sent this picture to the coach, all of a sudden it became child pornography. All of a sudden the coach was receiving pornography from these girls. These girls are dressed. They're not dressed in anything risque. They're in their school clothes. But at the same time, before it could be stopped, the man's life was destroyed. Before the truth could come out, the man's life was destroyed. So mm-hmm. What I'm saying to you is, I don't know the story of the coach that you're speaking of, Dr. Smith. I don't know, but at the same time, if the court system did not find him in a situation where he needed to be prosecuted for whatever accusation it was, then why should we be discussing this man's life 20-plus years later?
All right, let's kind of move forward because, you know, we got our time is of value right now. We're going to move to our topic on college sports. And what we're going to do, it's 103 days before we be ready for the kickoff of football. So we want to try to do five each show, five things we would like to see happen in college football for 2018. Five things that we'd like to see happen in college football 2018. Something you would like to see happen in these next 103 days. Yes.
I do one. I'm a do one. I want to see more teams in the playoffs.
All right, more teams in the playoffs. Awesome, awesome. Okay.
I'm gonna do number two.
All right.
I want to see the players get a financial stipend.
Okay. All right. Stipend. Coach Smith.
Okay. Everybody might laugh when I say this. I want to see Arvin lose more games than they win. Point blank period.
But hey, look, you don't need a genie for that one, honey.
It's just something deep down inside of me that cannot let them be great. I just cannot let them be great. I cannot let them be a threat at any year. They have to be below Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. That's how low I want Auburn. I want Florida to finish above them.
All right. Okay, you want Florida to finish better than what's expected. All right. Trey said he's a playoff. And I'll do number five because we'll say five in there because we had more teams in the playoff. Then Darrell said he think the players should get paid, should get their money paid. Laura, like I said first, she says she'd like to see Auburn lose more games than they win. And then also she also want to see Florida do better to the point than Auburn. So we'll give her a two with that one. Now, I guess I'll add number five. We'll do one every week. We do five every week. I would like to see the transfer rule actually cleared up to the point where if we're going to let them transfer without sitting out, transfer and have to sit out. Is it clear that you can transfer, which we thought and knew from a group of five down to a division 1AA, or let them from a group of five go up to a power five? I would like to see it clarified. I would like to see it understood so we as the public can understand it, because right now it is that you can transfer it down. But since you are not part of power five, you're the group of five, why can't I transfer from Alabama down to Central Florida? You know what I'm saying? I know I can transfer from Central Florida down to FCS, Division II or Division III, or I can transfer up to either one. Why can't a player leave that Power Five and come down to a group of five? That's what I like to see. So those are the five things we got. So we'll get five more next week, so y'all think about that. We'll be down on our days. Very excited about the season. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to that web link, you can go to that web link, and you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LDSmithProduction. All right. And since I was talking about the transfer rule, tell me your thoughts about that. I just threw it out in regards to the Power Five transferring without sitting out down to the Group of Five, or the Group of Fives transferring up without sitting out. Because we know they can transfer it down to Division Two or FCS or Division Three. What's your thoughts on that, team?
Dr. Smith, I would love for you to share with me, why is that rule in place? What was the board's reasoning for making the decision the way it is, if you know?
Okay. As you know, the members of the NCAA that makes up the NCAA is the presidents of the universities. So at one time, a lot of those schools that are considered to be group of five always fell down in the FCS. So they sort of moved up. It wasn't a problem for a person to transfer from those schools up to that. But the rule was put into play because a lot of the coaches and these presidents didn't want a kid to transfer after being at their school and without any consequences. The consequences for them transferring from Auburn to Alabama is that they got to sit out. They didn't want them to play immediately. So they came up with a rule to stop students from just, you know, people cherry picking. You got coaches to be calling players and they still at another school so you can get them over at your school. So if you do, there is something to keep them from that, and the discussion is whether we want to continue to allow them to sit out and allow them to move from school to school, or do they have to just sit out a year, continue to sit out a year, or well, I threw a little caveat in there that before they could go from the group of five because it was not a such thing as a group of five. It was just all power five. Now we got a group of five, and they want to know whether they want to stop those players or allow those players to go from, they say, allow the group of five to the power five. I hope that gives a little clarity, but it's always been a rule to stop players from transferring cross, we call lateral move, to another school that's the same level without having a consequence of sitting out. Transferring because you're unhappy. You ain't getting to play in time, but you're going to go and talk to another player at Auburn and say, I want to go over to Auburn. And they said, without any consequences. That's basically what they was trying to stop. No matter if you was a power five, you couldn't go to the other school and let you sit out a year.
I think they changed the rule. It does. I think rather than set out a whole year, you make them sit out, you know, half a season. Give them some consequence of the move, just so it puts something in check. I think you should have some type of check and balance there. But a whole year, I think that's just very unfair. Maybe a half a season.
Okay. Great.
My sentiments on that, you know, it depends on how you weigh the benefits of it. Now, if it's a kid leaving me, I don't want them transferring in my conference. If it's a kid coming to me, I don't care. It's a yay and nay thing with the whole situation. It's the same thing that goes on in high schools, middle schools, and so on. In AAUs, Lauren. It happens. When kids are upset with what's going on, they will leave as point blank. Now, in the case with this guy for Alabama, I think he's trying to transfer to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Auburn. They mentioned Auburn in there, too.
Yeah. Tennessee and Auburn. So,
yeah.
So I'm going to block that. If he leaving me, I might block that. Because he's been there 2-3 years, and he knows my system. I mean, I'm blocking that. You can use that against people. So if you're going to transfer, you need to get out of the SEC. I feel that. Get on out the SEC.
All right, before you jump in there, Lauren, let me kind of put one. We're talking about a graduate student now. A graduate student said that he don't have to sit out. The only thing about it, the conference says, we're not letting you transfer to a school within the conference if you're a graduate student. Now, remember, was it 2 years ago, last year, the first year that Kirby got to Georgia, Alabama had a defensive back who had graduated, mm-hmm. wanted to transfer to Georgia, and they allowed him to, and he made a difference in the game because in the Auburn game he made a difference. So my point is that's a little different, and I think that's clear that, but it's just a conference thing. You are not – Alabama say you're not transferring to a school that I got to play or transfer to a school that's on my schedule, and you're not going to be able to transfer because you can bring a lot of information with you. I can see that being fair, but that's just kind of – Coach Smith, you can jump in there because I just wanted to share that thought right there.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I wouldn't care. I'm just being totally honest. If we're talking about folks like Nick Saban, he restocks every year, right? And the way these kids are growing and how athletic these kids are, it really wouldn't matter if that guy transferred out or not. You know what I'm saying? So, in my opinion, go ahead and transfer because we got to think about it. I'm talking about just not a grad transfer, right? I'm just talking about a transfer. If he transferring, he transferring for probably maybe one or two reasons. One, he didn't play enough. Two, he doesn't see himself playing ever on the team. So when you got a situation like that, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Let him transfer. I don't care where he goes because as long as he's happy. Because at the end of the day, we for the kids that's interested at the end of the day, not ours. So That's my thought on that. But when it comes to grad transfer, once again, same thing. Go ahead and transfer. Grad transfer means I gave that school at least 3 or 4 years. I got my education. We always say student athlete. He got his degree. He can go anywhere he wants. I really believe that that rule needs to be looked at thoroughly, and it needs to be really for the kids' best interest, not a program's best interest.
That's all right. And, again, now you can call in at 347-857-4192. All right, we get down to the closing of our show. There's a couple more things we want to talk about. Last week we asked the team to talk about any coach, any college football, new football coach in 2018 football season. What is your thoughts about that coach, any particular coach? How you project their season to be? Was it the best moves possible for them? Any head coach? Now we're talking about head coach, but you can share your thoughts on that right quick, and then we'll get ready to wrap it up.
Any thoughts on that?
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna stay up here on the hill with Coach Maynard. We got a lot of making up to do in the SWAC. He has his hands full, but I still think he has a chance to sneak in and surprise some folks. This guy's a comedian as a coach. He does a great job. His interaction with the kids is very good. We're going to be okay on the hill, baby.
All right, Trey. Coach Lauren.
I'll jump in.
Okay, I am.
All right,
then. Oh, I'm sorry, Coach. Go ahead.
No, I thought I was on mute. I thought I went on mute. Go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and say these things I said last week. Arizona, Texas A&M. I really want to see how Texas A&M will fare in the SEC. Arizona State, I really want to see what Herm Edwards can bring in the NFL mind. When can he bring that over to the West Coast and see how they could really reshape their program a little bit, put it back on the winning side. Texas A&M, I really do not believe they should have fired the coach they had, but, hey, things happen. I want to see them get better, but I do not believe it's going to happen. I'm going to go ahead and say I do not believe it's going to happen.
Awesome.
I'm just going to say that, Willie Taggart, the Seminoles, I think he's poised for a pretty good first season. And I just hope that this brother has the opportunities that his predecessors had. I think things are going to be great for Willie Taggart down at the Seminole Country. That's it for me.
Okay. And that's awesome. And, you know, we see some great things. We're excited about football. Like I said, it's 103 days before we get ready to snap up, put our helmets on just like everybody else. We're going to cheer for our team. We're going to hoorah for whatever team we want to hoorah for. So we're getting ourselves psyched up. In this part of the country, football is 365 days. So by you joining us, you had us to share our thoughts about it. And the question was, do life need sports? And all the topics we talked about let you know it's a part of life. It's what's going on. And we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to you joining us as well next week at the same time, which is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We want to close this show out. I want each of my co-hosts to kind of close this show out how they feel best. And we'll start with Darryl E. We'll go with you, Darryl, Coach of the Airways.
Thank you very much, everybody. One thing I want to say before I get off, that every year, Auburn Tigers, they rebuild. But every year, Alabama simply reloads. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Rebuild, reload. All right. So, Lauren.
Go ahead. It's another busy weekend, probably the last busy weekend for a month for me. We got one more tournament. I was blessed last weekend to get 2 wins on Saturday, unfortunately. Could get a win on Sunday. This week, we'll go to practice tomorrow. New head, new mind. I'm ready to go ahead and get cracking. We'll be playing in Montgomery this weekend. So, you know, follow me on Facebook, Lauren Smith, for the schedule. I'll be posting it this week. I did post it last week. Came out a little late, but still I want to see everybody out here supporting the kids. Kids need to support great basketball, great thing to get the Saturday going. Have a safe, sane, and sober weekend. I'm out.
All right. Coach Trey.
Yes. This is Tremaine that was coming in. Coming to winding down the school year, baby. Last day tomorrow. Last day for the kids tomorrow. We got teachers in service on Friday. But been a great experience this year. You get better and better every year. You get more seasoned every year. Glad to be on the show. I will be back Wednesday. Hopefully we'll have a Eastern Conference champion by Wednesday. So glad to be here. Thank you, audience. Thank you, Dr. Smith.
You're welcome, Trey. We appreciate each and every one of the co-hosts. You know, like I said, our co-host, Coach Tony Stoneworth, is not here. You know, you say, always say, you know, take a day and don't let the day take you, but this is the night. But, you know, take a night and don't let the night take you. But for myself, my hashtag, keep on grinding. And always I share something on Facebook. Don't ever, ever, in your mind, refuse to allow people to live in your mind through worry and stress, rent-free. The only thing that lives in your mind is faith. And we said faith is no charge. So I want you to have an awesome night. Join us next week at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Call in numbers 347-857-4192. So you have a great night. We enjoy having you on here. Let's make sure you call in next week because we want to hear from you. And as we kind of close this thing out, we're going to reach back to something way, way, way back in the day. And some of us may not even been born when we hear this, but I want you to hear this song. We do not have the rights to this music, but we're going to play this music. And this is dealing with a group that was all well-known called Blackbirds. You know, it got a nice beat to it. Now, listen to that beat now. You have an awesome night. We'll talk to you next week. And have a great night.